भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We'll be five verses this morning. Canto 3, chapter 19. We'll start with 26. And we're going to end with 31. Translation 26. Though struck indifferently by the Lord, the conqueror of all, the demon's body began to wheel, his eyeballs bulged out of their sockets, his arms and legs broken, and the hair on his head scattered. He fell down dead, like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. Purport. It does not take even a moment for the Lord to kill any powerful demon, including Hiranyaksha. The Lord could have killed him long before, but he allowed the demon to display the full extent of his magical feats. One may know that by magical feats, by scientific advancement of knowledge, or by material power, one cannot become the equal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His one signal is sufficient to destroy all our attempts. His inconceivable power, as displayed here, is so strong that the demon, despite all his demoniac maneuvers, was killed by the Lord, when the Lord desired, simply by one slap. Text 27. Aja, or Lord Brahma, and the others arrived on the spot to see the fearfully tusked demon lying on the ground, biting his lip. The glow of his face was yet unfaded, and Brahma admiringly said, "Oh, who could meet such a blessed death?" Purport. Although the demon was dead, his bodily luster was unfaded. This was very peculiar, because when a man or animal is dead, the body immediately becomes pale. The luster gradually fades and decomposition takes place. But here, although Hiranyaksha lay dead, his bodily luster was unfaded, because the Lord, the Supreme Spirit, was touching his body. One's bodily luster remains fresh only as long as the spirit soul is present. Although the demon's soul had departed his body, the Supreme Spirit touched the body, and therefore his bodily luster did not fade. The individual soul is different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he quits his body is certainly very fortunate. And therefore, personalities like Brahma and the other demigods eulogized the death of the demon. Text 28. Brahma continued. He, Hiranyaksha, was struck by a forefoot of the Lord, whom yogis, seeking freedom from their unreal material bodies, meditate upon in seclusion in mystic trance. While gazing on his countenance, this crest jewel of deities' sons has cast off his mortal coil. Purport. The process of yoga is very clearly described in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said here that the ultimate end of the yogis and mystics who perform meditation is to get rid of the material body Therefore, they meditate in secluded places to attain yogic trance. Yoga has to be performed in a secluded place, not in public, or in a demonstration on stage as nowadays practiced by many so-called yogis. Real yoga aims at ridding one of the material body. Thus, yoga practice is not intended to keep the body fit and young. Such advertisements of so-called yoga are not approved by any standard method. Particularly mentioned in this verse is the word yam, or unto whom, indicating that meditation should be targeted on the personality of Godhead. Even if one concentrates his mind on the boar form of the Lord, that is also yoga. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, one who concentrates his mind constantly in meditation upon the personality of Godhead in one of his many varieties of forms, is the first class yogi, and he can very easily attain trance simply by meditating upon the form of the Lord. If one is able to continue such meditation on the Lord's form at the time of one's death, one is liberated from the mortal body and is transferred to the kingdom of God. This opportunity was given to the demon by the Lord, and therefore Brahma and other demigods were astonished. In other words, the perfection of yoga practice can be attained by a demon. Also, if he is simply kicked by the Lord, Text 29. These two personal assistants of the Supreme Lord, having been cursed, have been destined to take birth in demoniac families. After a few such births, they will return to their own positions. And the last verse that we'll read, text 31. The demigods addressed the Lord, "All obeisances unto you. You are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon, who was a torment to the worlds, has been slain by you, and we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion to your lotus feet." Purport. The material world consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. But the spiritual world is pure goodness. It is said here that the form of the Lord is pure goodness, which means that it is not material. In the material world, there is no pure goodness. In the Bhagavatam, the stage of pure goodness is called Sattvam Vishuddham. Vishuddham means pure. In pure goodness, there is no contamination by the two inferior qualities, namely passion and ignorance. The form of the boar, therefore, in which the Lord appeared, is nothing of the material world. There are many other forms of the Lord, but none of them belong to the material qualities. Such forms are non-different from the Vishnu form, and Vishnu is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Last paragraph. The sacrifices which are recommended in the Vedas are meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In ignorance only, people try to satisfy many other agents, but the real purpose of life is to satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Third time. All sacrifices are meant to please the Supreme Lord. The living entities who know this perfectly well are called demigods, godly, or almost God. Since the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, it is his duty to serve the Lord and please him. The demigods are all attached to the personality of Godhead, and for their pleasure, the demon, who is a source of trouble to the world, was killed. Purified life is meant to please the Lord, and all sacrifices performed in purified life are called Krishna consciousness. This Krishna consciousness is developed by devotional service, as clearly mentioned here. This Srimad Bhagavatam is like taking a bath, fixing attention on the personality of Godhead. In every verse, let's go quickly. In every verse, in every step. So, even killing, which, you know, people in the mode of goodness are not so inclined. But devotees somehow, they applaud and clap when a demon is killed. And Palambasura was killed. Yay! Because these are pastimes of the Supreme Lord, and he protects the devotee, and the devotees celebrate, and the Lord protects the devotee. So we're hearing several things. This a big one is this form of viraha. Worldly people must think we're crazy. The Lord appears as a boar. But he appears as a boar. And in that boar, if there's an explanation at the beginning of this pastime, he does so because the earth fell to the bottom of the Garbhadak ocean, and somehow or another, I don't understand this one, but it's considered not clean. Why the Garbhadak ocean is not clean is the perspiration of the Supreme Lord. But he goes into that place by his boar form, plunges into the ocean with his tusks, lifts the earth, and then the big battle. So he assumes an appropriate form for the task at hand, and it's with his hoof, one smack on the side of the head of Hiranyaksha, and he's finished. But what we're hearing is the potency of the Supreme Lord is without limit. So he could have finished him without even appearing, or he could have finished him in a moment with whatever means he wanted. But he was enjoying the sporting. He was allowing Hiranyaksha to display whatever the mystic powers he had. And the Lord showed that those mystic powers cannot defeat him. So that's an important message. The atheist that philosophically assert there is no God, the impersonalist that indirectly assert he has no form, that the Supreme has no form, it's all, it's child play. And those defiant people don't meet a good destination. Except in this case, because Lord Varaha personally came and dealt with him, he received great benefit. Now, it's a curious item. On the one hand, the verse is saying, the demigods are saying, what great fortune, because he saw the Supreme Lord at the time of death. Normally, what that means is he goes back to Godhead. Then, a few verses later, after several births, he'll go back to Godhead. And that's because the curse of the Kumaras was being upheld by the Supreme Lord. So he didn't go directly. There's another explanation, that is, Hiranyaksha was not, although he was seeing the Supreme Lord, he thought of the Supreme Lord as something ordinary. I consulted Bhanuswami, who's translated so many commentaries of the Bhagavatam from our acharyas, and I asked him if he was aware of any reference that says where Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu went between that and Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and where Ravana and Kumbhakarna went before they became Shishupala and Dantavakra. And his answer was, he's unaware of anything from our acharyas that says where they went. So anticipating you might ask that question, the answer is, there's nothing known from our acharyas. Maybe they did, but where they went. They went someplace. And it wasn't back to Godhead. And they hung out for a long time because it's different yugas. Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga. Long time. Then we hear that the the presence of the soul makes the body have some aura or luster. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed in Prabhupada comments that when devotees practice Krishna consciousness, when someone becomes a devotee, there's a luster that's different. Not like, you know, a halo or something, but a luster. And then when that same person, if that same person leaves devotional service, the luster is gone. Using Prabhupada's way of speaking English, the devotee become bright-faced. There's a luster. Or he was commenting that when during one plane ride, one Catholic priest or something like that approached Prabhupada and asked him, you know, what have you done to bring these people who were formerly with us, you know, the Christian Church, Catholic Church, and now they're practicing Krishna consciousness, and they're radiant. That's one of our, you have to radiate. But just the presence of the soul makes a luster, and the absence of the soul, the luster goes. We're hearing that Hiranyaksha, although the soul had gone, the luster remained at least for some time because of the recent touch of the personality of Godhead. And by that touch of the personality of Godhead, the luster sustained for some time. The Lord is all powerful. And even just some contact, so great benefit. Therefore, Brahma is saying, how wonderful that this soul has achieved such a great fortune of departing. Now, externally, he got smacked in the side of the head and died. You know, how wonderful is that? But the demigods understand the good fortune. They understand that the purity of that form of Lord Brahma, as they say, yogis. Interesting way how Prabhupada has given the purport. This is describing the yoga practice. Well, yogis fix their mind in a secluded place on one who's beyond the modes of nature, with the intention of keeping their mind fixed that way, so that when it, by practice, keeping the mind fixed that way, when the soul departs the body, the mind stays fixed on that form. And that's a yogic principle. The goal is this higher attainment of consciousness in this life and after this life, transcendental attainment. And, well, it's really easy for something that's wonderful to be brought into the commercial realm, and people try to market it. Just like that question the fellow asked yesterday about going to holy places, and unfortunately there are materialistic people, that entrepreneurial materialistic people, that take advantage of the attraction for the holy place and try to harass the pilgrims for their livelihood, and they can be vicious. Tell some stories. They can be really vicious. And yet not just aggressive, vicious. So that's like the oil that's covering the lake or the pond or the body of water. It's just the covering. It's the age of Kali influence, but it doesn't contaminate the Dham. So the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Pure, so he can come in contact with persons like Hiranyaksha, or bad people, demons, or antagonistic people, and purify their existence. Now, he was doing so, and one level he's doing so because this is his lila, but he is responding to the appeal of the demigods, please protect us. The Lord is moved by the devotion of his devotees. And from the beginning and the middle and in the end. In the beginning they appealed, in the middle, you know, finish him, and the end, now we're relieved from the harassment of this terrible personality. We can carry on our worship and our lives of serving you, Lord Vishnu. You once again have protected us. The demigods have this capacity. They have material desire, and generally speaking, material desire covers knowledge. But they have the capacity, they're sufficiently devoted and situated in goodness, sufficiently that they can understand the position of one who's in transcendence. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is in transcendence. And one who comes in contact with transcendence becomes transcendentalized. That's the yoga system. Whether it's the meditational type or the whatever the type. The sacrifice is meant for Vishnu. The sacrifice, again, a message here. Sacrifice is not meant for a representative of Vishnu. Sacrifice is meant for Vishnu. Even if there's something that's offered, say, to a Vaishnava, it's meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom the Vaishnava is representing. If something is offered to a demigod, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visiting various temples, including temples of Lord Shiva, and it's not because he was a Mayavadi, because Lord Shiva is the greatest of all Vaishnavas, and honoring that Vaishnava as someone who's very qualified at pleasing the Supreme Lord. So verse after verse after verse, it's nice to read a series of verses like we just did, because although the angle of examination is slightly different, slightly different, slightly different, they're all leading to the same position. Inciting and inspiring and uplifting attention that goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam is such a literature. And most fortunate for us, we have a perfected soul in disciplic succession, Srila Prabhupada, giving us this, you know, reminder, purport, explanation. So accessible. So kind. I can imagine when any one of us started practicing Krishna consciousness, we didn't have a clue about, you know, the kinds of things we'd be talking about today. Talking about, you know, a form of a boar delivering a demon with tusks. And his becoming purified by that, you know, in this battle scene. The real standard of yoga. So, full of surprises, but it, in the other sense, transcendence is full of surprises. So we should expect it. And try to understand, try to appreciate, but full of surprises. Because the realm of transcendence is not something mundane. Or it's not the best of something mundane. The best of something mundane is vibhuti, and the Supreme Lord is the rest and support of all those vibhutis, something that's superlative in this world. That's just a spark of his splendor. Actually, super soul is the spark of his splendor. And then there's the material manifestation that's what we can perceive and gives us an idea of the spark of the splendor person behind everything. Bhagavatam is very nice. So, any discussion?
Yeah. Maharaj, so in the experience of accepting devotional service, and what happens if a person leaves his body, and is it possible to bypass the heaven and the hell and take the next life as a human being, or person has to?
Yes, the answer is yes.
So it's totally bypassed, like there's no requirement of...
You're asking the same question, and it's the same answer. Yes.
So, which means it will be quite instantaneous, Maharaj? In the sense, like, after this body is done, so it will be very immediate to take the next body and continue the day.
In any case, whether it's up or down or sideways, it's immediate. Immediate. Say it negatively. The soul cannot leave the body unless there's the next destination. When there is a next destination, the soul immediately transfers to the next destination. Immediately. Is that enough times? Yeah.
You mentioned that when the earth fell down in the Garbhodaka Ocean,
yeah.
So won't people die when it falls down?
Didn't people die when the earth fell down? That's your question. Did they like drown or something like that? I don't know. I don't know. There's no statement one way or the other, so I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Good question.
Maharaj, if one of our family member has taken up this Krishna consciousness and the process of chanting.
That's great.
I'm just talking about my mother.
Okay.
So, and you know, she's putting some endeavor to hear and, you know, but if there isn't any proper support from other family members, so...
This is another on-topic question like yesterday. Go ahead.
So my question is like, the Lord be pleased with whatever, you know, her capability to put some or from her end, what does she need to do more?
But the answer to your question is yeah. Whatever one offers, he accepts. The smallest thing.
So, you said there was a luster in Hiranyaksha after some time to...
The Bhagavatam says, yes.
Yes, so is there a significance to it as to why...
It's stated right in the purport. Should I read the purport again? The significance is, by touch of spirit, when the soul is within the body, there's luster. Now, the significance is, the soul had already left... Yeah. But there's luster, and why? Because the soul had already left. And the answer is given. The significance is because there's contact of the Supreme Lord, and therefore there's luster.
My question was, what are we to understand in sense, what is that we have to learn from that?
That the contact with the Supreme Lord causes luster. Yes.
It's all centered around earth and incarnations here, right?
No, not always. There's statements by our acharyas that say some of these forms of the Lord that appear there in other in the heavenly planets or other planets. Okay. So yes, largely the contact is the earth planet, but not always. For example, our acharyas say that there's descriptions of mountains and trees and things that are like gigantic. It's not this place. It's another place. Yeah.
So you said when Jay took the first birth, which is Jay... And it's just a J in all the three births.
Which is J and which is Vijay?
Who's
all
who?
The three birds.
Who's who?
Yeah,
Hiranyaksha is who? And Hiranyakashipu is who? So it's... I'm not sure. But as far as I understand, Hiranyaksha is Jai and Hiranyakashipu is Vijay. But I'm not sure. Yeah, he's saying Ravana and Kumbhakarna, Jai and Vijay. And Shishupala and Dantapakra. You know, it's in sequence. I'll double check and I'll let you know if I'm saying it wrong. But part of the reason that we hear Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, that sequence, and Ravana and Kumbhakarna and Shishupala and Dantavakra is Jai and Vijay. I'm not sure, but that's my, you know, recollection. If it's different, I'll let you know. Yes?
Maharaj, in ISKCON, we, with respect to deity worship and Vaishnava songs and prayers, we pray to certain of the Dasavatars more than
others.
Varahadev, for example. Is there
a reason for that?
Yeah.
Well, the two that we pray to more than others, Ram and Nrisimha. And there is an answer. This is Lagu Bhagavatamrita, is a book by Rupa Goswami. The topic of Lagu Bhagavatamrita is the avatars. And there, he makes reference to a verse from Padma Purana that says, those two plus Krishna, they're Purna Aishwarya avatars. Meaning, specifically, the other avatars have less of the Aishwarya and less of the Aishwarya, less of the, like a list. These two, Rama and Nrisimha, have the same fullness of the Aishwarya feature of Bhagavan that Krishna has. And the others have slightly less, in different categories. And other details include some of the forms of the Lord. We only know a little bit about them. This is, in simple language. They primarily come to deliver knowledge. They're known for, like Kapila, they're known for giving Dattatreya, they're known for giving knowledge. We don't hear anything about their Shakti. They take the position of Brahmachari or celibacy. They don't show. There's different. There's lots of variations. But that's one of the reasons why those two in particular there's glorification and prayers offered a lot. A special position. Yes.
Question, Maharaj. So, as I practice bhakti, the persons or the friends with whom we have associated with actually, and they are also into this bhakti, but not like with the interest to advance further, but to maintain this practice to an extent, but not advance further. So, but at the same time, if we have the desire to advance, then the relationship becomes no more the same closeness in the relationship actually.
Okay.
How to deal with that things and how to maintain that friendship and how to have that compassion and that's one end. The other end in the devotional practice itself, with the person with whom we have received so much counseling, mentoring, and so many things, and the person who has advanced even further, advanced further and become a leader in this society, that he has to take so much of responsibilities, wherein we don't get so much of attention at now. So, how to accept that? We have to accept that he has gone way up and that he has so much responsibilities than he was before. But still, the mind entails that in this case, like, we have taken two different paths, actually. In the first case, actually, wherein the other person doesn't want to progress further, and on the other side, the person who have advanced way farther, actually, we get a feeling like, okay, now we don't get much attention.
Well, the second one is they're both easy. You ready?
But mind
stop the chatter. Open the ears. You ready? We're a family, spiritual family. And in a spiritual family, there's different relationships within the family. Just take, you know, the second part. Prabhupada was, in the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement, he was everything. He was friend, he was father, he was spiritual master, he was guide, he was a cook teacher, he was everything. Some time passed. And he had a mission. And he became less accessible to those people. And less accessible to other people, and told those people, you know, you take care of the newcomers. So he was less accessible to them and less accessible to the newcomers. But it's a spiritual family. Mm. Not a problem. It's wonderful having a spiritual family. He didn't change his position. The accessibility was, you know, not the same as the early days, but it's quite natural. It's lovely. Not a problem. Just so you're saying, I know I have to accept it, but you're not accepting it. That's the problem.
Yes.
Yeah. So you join the family. And that's the family. And just like, you know, you weren't here, but Atulia was busy in the kitchen, and so the little daughter was sitting on her lap instead of Atulia's lap, because part of the family, and then, you know, she was quite happy being on someone other than her mother's lap, and as soon as mother was available, there she is on mother's lap. So it's like a family. It's nice. It's lovely. So accept it. It's just lovely. I'll give another example. I know some devotee couple, very nice devotee couple. They were considering having a second child, and they decided, you know what? We'll just have a little school, and we'll treat each other's children like our own children. So the model in that community is, you know, others' children are like your children. Now their first child has association because other children are like their children. And the love is shared in that way. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice. So, then now the first question. It's also natural. You know, go backwards a step or two. There are persons with whom we used to associate, and we used to consider them, quote, friends, unquote. And then something happened. We started becoming interested in Krishna consciousness. And for our friends, we weren't fun anymore. You know, the friendship was based on, let's enjoy together. I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back, and that's our friendship. And you stop scratching my back. See you later. You're not fun anymore. You're not a friend anymore. So the basis of the friendship wasn't really friendship. It was a contract. an unwritten, you satisfy me and I satisfy you in these ways, and that's our friendship. So, most likely, every single devotee has experienced that. Those are not friendships, they were something else, under the name of friendship. And now, take it up forward to what you said. Now, someone is interested in practicing Krishna consciousness, you know, more or less. Or, you know, come see, come saw. So. And then others are, so, if you're in the category of the come see, come saw, then those are your friends. And the other ones are, you don't hang out with so much because they're too serious. They're fanatics or, you know. And then vice versa. So there's concentric circles. It's a visual. And at the center is those that really, you know, plunge into as far as they can the depths of exploring Shuddha Bhakti. And then there's concentric circles out. Like in a family. Or like in a, you know, a community. A spiritual family in that sense. And we don't reject people because, family members, because they're in the concentric circle that's further out. But we intimately associate with those that are like us, whichever that circle is, our circle. And we're not judging. Not like I'm up here, you're down there, kind of snobbiness. But we naturally associate with persons that are like attracts like. Natural. So you need to find out what is it, look inside and, you know, what is it that's my interest, and if your interest is, I want to be, you know, deeply absorbed in what the standards are and live according to those standards. And cultivate bhakti in a, not a superficial, but a, so that's you. And other persons, they're going to take advantage or progress in Krishna consciousness a little differently. That's, you know, that's to their benefit. We don't judge. We encourage. We extend ourselves to those people. Not with the same intimacy, but we, you know, with compassion and care and concern. This is a great soul. They're attracted to Krishna. Exactly. But kind of. That is, by his contact with Varaha, he lifted up the earth, right? And by the contact with lifting up the earth, doesn't give a detail of, you know, how from that contact, Mother Earth, Bhumi, gave birth to a son, Bhoma. And that Bhoma, with bad association, became Bhomasura. But Bhoma was their son. So, not exactly wife, but not exactly not wife either. Shakti, you know the meaning, potency, energy, of the Supreme Lord. That, you know, Mother Earth, or Shakti, she is Prakriti, material nature. And material nature is Krishna's nature. So he, Lord Raha, was associating with his energy. That's, you know, one of the reasons why he was rescuing Mother Earth. It's his energy. And through that contact, that child was born. Bhoma, the son of Bhumi. And Lord Brahma. Okay.
Maharaj, like, in previous yugas, like, all the planets were, I guess, bigger?
I don't know if that's true. Why do you say that?
Oh, I heard that.
I haven't heard.
Oh, okay. So, I was actually going to ask, if they were bigger, does that mean the universe was also?
I have no idea. I never heard that they were bigger in previous ages. I never heard that one.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. But if it was so, I would be surprised that we haven't, that Prabhupada didn't speak on it. I've never heard Prabhupada speak on that. There may be some acharya somewhere, or somebody speculating, or I don't know what. No comment. Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhupada.
Yeah.